It's my profound joy to be here with all of you. I remember it was maybe 3 years back, 3 years, when I had an opportunity to visit Alachua for the first time. And since that time, I have always thought, when will my next opportunity come? I'm personally very, very interested in the growth of a community like this one, where so many devotees come and really make the experiment work, that staying together, living together, growing together, maturing together. In my own mind, these are communities of care. Communities of care where we care for each other's growth, and I do know that there are challenges on the way. So I'm very, very happy to be here. Also, I see devotees who have visited Japa and Kirtan retreats, and I recognize you all. Well, thank you very much for again inviting me for such a, let me say, famous weekend. It will become famous because we will have, we have a seminar which I give for the first time in America. It's a part two of the Temple of the, it's part two of the Sacred Space seminar. Something which I have been working on since many years. And there will be, towards the weekend, many guests coming for the 12-hour kirtan and for the events on Sunday. So it will be a famous or a memorable weekend. And I'm very pleased to spend that in your association. Good. So I have now here a message. Please repeat. Okay, I thought it's please end on time, otherwise you will be shot. I thought it was one of those news. Sometimes one has. All right. Do we have an extra microphone for a violin as our sound man here? It is possible? Yeah. Maybe we start already and then you can give it to Janavi, who has come with her spiritual violin. Here's the news. It is here. Oh, Krishna, I will try to end on time. I overlooked the news, but I thought somewhere it will be.
Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari Gopi Jana Vallabha Giri Varadhari Dhavallava Giri Varadhari Gopi Jana Vallava Giri Varadhari Thank you. Yasodhanandana Dajajanadhanjana. Yasodhanandana Dajajanadhanjana. Jamuna tira vana jali Jamuna tira vana jali Nidhaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihani Nidhaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihani Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Krishna Hare Krishna Krishna Krishna
A little bit louder, please.
Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Jaya Prabhu Pada, Prabhu Pada, Prabhu Pada Shila, Prabhu Pada. Jaya Gaura Nithai, Gaura Nithai, Gaura Nithai, Jaya Gaura Nithai. Jaya Krishna Balaram, Krishna Balaram, Krishna Balaram, Jaya Krishna Balaram. Jaya Radha Shyama Sundara Radha Shyama Sundara Radhe. Oh, Premanandi, Hari 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 Bo.
Jayom Vishnu Pada Paramahamsa Paravaraja Kacharya. Ashtata Satasisima Des Divine Grace Sila Vechara Naravinda Shila Bhakti Vedanta Swami Maharaja Shila Prabhupada Ki Jai Anand Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai His confounded Acharya Shila Prabhupada Ki Jai Samaveta Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai Gaura Premanandi Hari Hari Bol All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to C.C. Guru and Sri Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna. It's first canto, fifth chapter, text 26. What's it say? Maha honey, you start feeding me already. Thank you. For the voice. I will take it afterwards, probably. I feel just so observed. Good. Yeah. We don't have a first canto here. Well, America is the land of computers. Maybe you have it on the laptop. Yeah, I realize, but the purport and the text, it will go, oh yeah, land of computers, yes. Hare Krishna. And do I also have an internet audience here? So, Hare Krishna, Hare Bo, internet-ji audience, welcome. Please try the art of attentive internet observance. Hare Krishna. Sorry, I'm sometimes a little playful with my jokes. So, I want to introduce a little bit what we are going to do the next morning and evening classes, so that you're tuned in and know what to expect, and tell hopefully many, many of your friends to attend. I have been talking for some time with Manu and Jairate about coming to Alachua. They were my gracious host last time, and I so much remember all the little wonderful exchanges with many of you in the community, and really left with an enriched heart. And at that time, I already thought, what will I present when I come next time? My own journey as a preacher has brought me to an important realization, which is maybe different than it was before. I would like to assist devotees and also those who are spiritually interested, that means outsiders to our community. I want to assist them in their spiritual growth by supplying an experience for them which will be so strong, if possible, that it will convince them very deeply about the feasibility of becoming an ecstatic human being. So for that, I give retreats and seminars all over the world, both to outside audiences as well as for our Krishna conscious communities all over the world. So when we started to prepare this visit to Alachua, I asked Manu and Jairathe, do you think it would be welcome if I give something like a seminar, in other words, lectures which are connected to each other and which also encourage my audience to go for Krishna conscious experience during these lectures and so on. And they got back to me and said, yes, our community very much wants an input, a refreshing input, and so on. So what I will be doing with you in the morning and evening classes will be slightly different than formal lectures, but it will also not be as free as the things which we do in our retreats, because after all we are in a temple room where Sri Sri Radha Syam Sunda and Krishna Balaram and also Srila Prabhupada, of course, is there on the Vyasasana, and a certain traditional format and protocol is important, because this is a worship hall which we cannot, you know, all of a sudden start breathing and doing all this experiential things. Thank you, Prabhu. So this is a little bit of an introduction. The title of what we do is for these six classes or so, the Temple of the Heart. Don't want to say too much, but something needs to be said. Temple of the Heart is a very ancient spiritual concept. It refers to what the Upanishads call the Hriday Akash or the Dahara Akash. This is a space within the heart where all spiritual realizations are possible. In Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur's words, there is a temple in the heart which is closed by avidya, by ignorance, or by inner darkness, you could say. And only through the processes of bhakti, when they are properly applied, can we have an access to this place. In this place, this, let me say, mystical place in the heart, there is a residence for the soul and the Supreme Soul, that is Lord Krishna. They reside there. They reside not outside, not in our brain, and so on, but in that Dahara Akash, that spiritual place. Now it says only few know how to enter that place. Those who know how to enter it will become free of false desires, because they taste the transcendental bliss of the divine exchange. Now, Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says, the processes of bhakti, which we will be talking about, help us to find an access to this place. You know, where I live, it is a place in Germany. I mean, I used to live there. It's the spiritual name is Goloka Dham, but the place is called Abenteuer, for those of you who know German. For those of you who don't know, I think it's a minority. The place is called Adventure. That's how the village is called, Abenteuer or Adventure in English. And there is a cave, a wonderful, beautiful cave, which was made there 100 years ago when a hermit lived in the forest. However, this place has been closed by the municipality with big earth and stones. And when I lived there, I wanted to, of course, go into this place and find it, because I have such a nature, very curious nature, and I defied the municipality, and I unearthed the place every day, a little bit, 10 centimeters, and, you know, and finally it was possible to go inside that cave, which has, please help me, stalagmites. Do you know what that is? Stalagmites. It looks really mystical with a torch, and one can chant. I mean, one can chant anywhere and everywhere, but at least there no one finds one. So I had to unearth the place. So when we speak of the temple of the heart, which is also referred to in the Bhagavatam as a gufa means cave, we have to first of all unearth and free the access so that we can enter and there find the soul and the supreme soul. This taster, it's like a taster seminar. I can't tell everything to all of you, because then you won't come to the much longer seminar and retreat. This taster will make you a little bit familiar with the access road to the temple of your heart, where all your spiritual treasures lie. Huh? Will make you a little bit familiar with that. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. We are reading today first canto, fifth chapter, text 26. Uchishtale pamanumodito dvijaye. Oh, sorry. This is 25. I'm wrong. Hare Krishna. Tatran vaham Krishna kata pragayatam. Anugrahena shrinavam manohara. Ta shraddhaya menupadam vishinvata. Priya shravasyanga mama bhavat ruchi. Tatran vaham Krishna kata pragayatam. Anugrahena shrinavam manohara. Ta shraddhaya menupadam vishrinvata. Priya shravasyanga mama bhavat ruchi. Tatran vaham Krishna kata pragayatam.
Anugrahena Shinavam Manohara.
Anugrahena Shinavam Manohara.
Tha Shraddhaya Me Nupadam Vishinvata. Priya Shravasyanga Mama Bhavat Ruchi.
Yes, please. Matajis, please. Tatra, thereupon, anu, every day, aham, I, Krishna Kata, narration of Lord Krishna's activities, pragayatam, describing, anugrahena, by causeless mercy, ashinavam, giving oral reception. Manahara, attractive. Taha, those. Shadaya, respectfully. Me, unto me. Anupadam, every step. Vishinvataha, hearing attentively. Priyashravasi, of the personality of Godhead. Anga, O Vyasadev. Mama, mine. Abhavat, it so became. Ruchihi, taste. Translation. Before I read the translation, just a little orientation where we are. We hear Narada Muni's account of how he became the famous Narada Muni. He had been a son of a maidservant, and by the association of great souls who camped in his house, so to say, for the month of the rainy season, by that association he gained actually taste for the practices of Krishna consciousness. And here now this is described. We will hear this morning a little bit about developing taste, as opposed to doing things out of fear or hope or the desire to just fulfill one's duty and spiritual life.
O Vyasadev, in that association, and by the mercy of those great Vedantists, I could hear them describe the attractive activities of Lord Krishna. And thus, listening attentively, my taste for hearing of the personality of Godhead increased at every step. Purport. Lord Sri Krishna, the absolute personality of Godhead, is attractive not only in his personal features, but also in his transcendental activities. It is so because the absolute is absolute by his name, fame, form, pastimes, entourage, paraphernalia, etc. The Lord descends on this material world out of his causeless mercy and displays his various transcendental pastimes as a human being, so that human beings attracted towards him become able to go back to Godhead. So he attracts us, our minds, so that we are able to go back to Godhead. Men are naturally apt to hear histories and narrations of various personalities performing mundane activities without knowing that by such association one simply wastes valuable time and also becomes addicted to the three qualities of mundane nature. Instead of wasting time, one can get spiritual success by turning his attention to the transcendental pastimes of the Lord. By hearing the narration of the pastimes of the Lord, one contacts directly the personality of Godhead. And as explained before, by hearing about the personality of Godhead from within, all accumulated sins of the mundane creature are cleared. Thus, being cleared of all sins, the hearer gradually becomes liberated from mundane association and becomes attracted to the features of the Lord. Narada Muni has just explained this by his personal experience. The whole idea is that simply by hearing about the Lord's pastimes, one can become one of the associates of the Lord. Narada Muni has eternal life, unlimited knowledge, and unfathomed bliss. Unfathomed bliss. And he can travel all over the material and spiritual worlds without restriction. One can attain to the highest perfection of life simply by attentive hearing of the transcendental pastimes of the Lord from the right sources. As Sri Narada heard them from the pure devotees, Bhaktivedantas, in his previous life. So your highest perfection in life can be attained by hearing about Krishna. This process of hearing in the association of devotees is especially recommended in this age of quarrel. Hare Krishna. That's the purport. One moment, please. Is it possible to switch off these two independently? Yes, because they will all be in the cool, but I will not have this.
Tatanvaham Krishna Kata Pragayatam Anugrahena Shrinavam Manohara Ta shradaya menupadam vishrinvata priya shravasyanga mama bhavat ruchi.
So here Narada Muni describes how he obtained taste and spiritual life. He says, O Vyasadev, in that association of these devotees, and by the mercy of those great Vedantists, I could hear them describe the attractive activities of Lord Krishna. And thus, listening attentively, my taste for hearing of the personality of Godhead increased at every step.
Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Simate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Prachanine Nirvishesha Shunyavani Askatyade Satarine.
My dear devotees, here a very important point rises to our awareness. An important point for all of our spiritual lives, which will decide if we will have an enlivened Krishna conscious experience during this lifetime, or if we will develop pale faces from the inner frustration which develops in our heart if we practice without taste. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that in spiritual practices and in religion in general, there are four motivations. And I request you to see now what motivates you of these four. One is fear. This is how mundane religions operate, at least I know from Germany that the Christians would say you have to do this so that you don't go into hell, and because hell is hotter than Florida, people therefore feel encouraged to practice that path. The next motivation which mundane religionists and also sometimes spiritual institutions use is hope. They instill a hope in you. Do this, my dear boy and my dear girl, and when you do this, you will enter paradise. I do know from, maybe it's incorrect to give the names of religion, but there's one religion which practices asceticism. But then they promise their followers, if they make it and follow this process, they will enter paradise, where there will be wine and woman, or muscular men for the women, available in great quantities. So this is a mundane religion, and because we are now in the internet and everyone hears it, I will not give you a name of that religion, but it is so that I'm not executed. But that is very, very prominent. You can read that in that religion main scripture. So both, and I think you can see that this also sometimes holds true to our Krishna conscious movement. Some preachers who may want to motivate their audience use fear. Do this, otherwise there is a bad reaction for you. Or hope. Do this, and if you do, there is a good reaction waiting for you. The third motivating point in mundane religions, which is sometimes also used in spiritual things by preachers who may not be yet familiar with these points,
is Kartavya Bodhi. Kartavya Bodhi means you, it's preached that this is your duty. Just do it out of duty. If you do your duty well, then you are a dharmic person, and so on. And they preach doing things out of duty. You promised something at your initiation, and now it's your duty to do this, and so on. It's a motivating factor. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur says in the pure Bhagavad Dharma, that is Krishna conscious, these are not acceptable motivations. The motivation is raga, or to do something, or to do your practices out of love, out of affection. Now, of course, it is not very easy for a conditioned soul to feel love of Godhead. That comes in a purificatory state. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur refers to raga not in this context. He refers just to raga as something which is a taste, which you do not because you are afraid, because you hope to get something for you, or just because you want to be a dutiful person and that gives you pleasure to be dutiful. No. You have a taste for this. You are doing it out of gratitude and all these things which inform you to do something voluntarily, not for some to attain something else, and so on. That is how Krishna consciousness must be executed. See, when you join the movement for Krishna consciousness, you join a new lifestyle and you join a new promise and a new prospect. This sets free a tremendous human potential of giving himself or herself 100% to the path. But as we all know, in the beginning, our enthusiasm is not informed by Krishna conscious realization, and therefore it wanes out, it pales away as we grow older in Krishna consciousness, if not another motivating factor comes in. This utsahamayi, or this beginner's enthusiasm, is short-lived, as we all know, and we have to enter the world of taste, doing it out of taste. We like doing it. We follow our bliss, so to say, if I want to cite an American thinker. We do this, which later transforms into, well, there's first real enthusiasm, not blind enthusiasm, and then it transforms into affection to Krishna. We do it out of affection to Krishna. We all joined a new movie. We saw heroes in the new movie, role models from the scripture, Narada Muni, or our exalted spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada. And we learn to move and act in this new movie of our life. But then we learn to smile. We learn to say the right thing, no longer hi, but Haribol. But a time has come for most of us where we had to ask the question, is this really me? Is it really who I am? Do I really find myself in this movie of my newfound life? This is a question which all of us have to awaken. I have a class friend, from my old class friend. His name is Knut Fleckenstein, Dr. Knut Fleckenstein. He is now a politician in the European Parliament. That's like the government for all of Europe. And somehow he found me out and invited me for an old class friend meeting. You know, we have this, I was in one of these high schools, which was for the rich, for the infamously rich people. And everyone in my class made it. One became a theater director, one became a famous European parliament person. And they always wondered what had happened with me. there was a rumor. The rumor was that I became a lama and I went into Tibet and learned the art of mystical flying. And while I was flying over the Trans-Himalayan mountain range, I crashed and the flight and broke my neck and died. There was a rumor amongst my old class friends. So when Knut Fleckenstein found me, that the politician from the European Parliament, and invited me to the old, it's called alumni. Is it called alumni? Reunion, yes, we have that also in our Gurukul. They were all sitting in this prestigious restaurant. I remember Gaurahari drove me before the restaurant and said, do you wish that I come along with you? They were all there, these were people who have theater directors, very influential positions in the in society, and I said, no, I'm going to go through this alone. And so I went in the restaurant, and they were all on their seats. When is the Lama or whatever coming? And I was, of course, dressed like I'm always dressed, so it was visibly a delight to see the orange color or the saffron color. And they all went like, and they were very nervous to see. And then we entered with everyone. It was just lovely into a discussion. And I do remember especially what Knut Fleckenstein told me. He said, you know, we lived together, we were friends, we walked together. There was no secret between us. And then all of a sudden, you left the school, the school, and you were seen. And the last time I saw you was in TV, when you gave a lecture there, and then you disappeared from my awareness. And I was always thinking, where will you end up? And he said like this. But now, I have a question to you. I became a politician and I have everything I ever wanted. You knew when we were going to school, I always wanted to be one of those who makes decisions. But when I see your happy smile, I'm asking, did I maybe go in the wrong train? I see you seem to be happy, at least by your smile, and I am not. Did you go maybe in the right train? What is your path? What is it? Please explain to me. I became a politician. I'm dressing like them. I'm smiling like them. I'm giving promises like them. I'm thinking like them. I learned my role in this movie, but I think I'm in the wrong movie if I compare myself with your path. And so he was saying like this, and I said, well, Knut, I said, what you need is an experience which tells you that you are right in whatever you do. True life is not an intellectual affair. True life is something where you experience what deep in your heart you yearn for. And all of us, then I started to preach, are spiritual souls. We are sitting in this house of our body. We are inhabiting this body for a brief time. But we really yearn for our meeting with the Supreme, our happy meeting with the Supreme, where we can realize all the ideals of our soul. And I said like this. And then Knut was all into it. He said, give me books, give me everything, I will get back to you. Maybe we meet in India and so on. But here I want to say to all of you, did you actually, while going into this, into your life, did you actually find your soul? Did you actually find God in your life? Did you actually find the deep, deep taste which comes when you make a contact with the Supreme Lord? See, life is giving us this opportunity. And I want to say, the true transformation which you need in order to act on the spiritual path in relationship with Krishna, in an active, perceivable relationship with Krishna, only happens when you make an experience in Krishna consciousness which reprograms your wrong programming. True transformation in Krishna consciousness is not a mental or intellectual affair. It only happens when you make an experience which gives you a taste, a higher taste. I think you recognize this from the Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna says the lower activities can only be given up by experiencing a higher taste. Do you remember this verse? My dear devotees, how do you convert a drunkard? By an intellectual experience? Will you tell them drinking it ruins your digestion, it ruins your brain, it ruins your relationship? The drunkard will say, I know this, thank you very much, but I drink nevertheless. Because the decision to drink is not made from the rational mind. It's made from psychologically, the emotional mind, the limbic mind, if you so want. So how do you convince yourself to live a very, very fulfilling Krishna conscious life, you know, and can you at all convince yourself? How do you convince yourself to give up the lower taste, the material attachments, which inform a lot of your activities? It's not a mental process by hearing a good lecture which you can intellectually follow. It happens when you make an experience. You have to crack, you have to open your limbic system or your emotional mind by a higher taste, by a better experience, which then informs you and you say, I always want to have this. I want to go again and again to this. Do you know that the success of Prabhupada's preaching is that he actually convinced us to make a higher taste, give up whatever we had to give up to follow the four rules and regulations. And then he maintained us in this. I think when we talk about the old times, and when you say see movies of the old times, happy devotees just dancing barefoot on the street, you know, Prabhupada had gotten them. He had given them an experience of Krishna consciousness, which was so much better than the addictions to material life which these devotees previously had, that they could bypass these strong addictions and live a life of spiritual fulfillment. And this is what is required, this to convert you also into an ecstatic human being. It is a spiritual experience is required, which is so strong
that it breaks through your attachments and through your what is opposed to this. It makes really a crack in this, and it informs you from a higher level that this is the way you want to live, and you feel yes. We hear during Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance that this happened. Devotees joined his kirtan. They danced for days. Do you know, for days? You can't do this. You do after 2 hours, you feel, wow, my legs are also there, and so on. We hear in Chaitanya Bhagavat the accounts that young boys didn't eat for 32 days. When you don't eat for 2 days, you become mental. Why could they go for 32 long days without food, just dancing in Hari Bol, Hare Krishna? Because they had a taste, an ecstatic taste, which is there. How long can you live according to an intellectual programming? How long can you do this Krishna consciousness, by doing it only out of duty? Huh? How long will you chant your 16 rounds if you only do it out of duty? One day you will say, let's be human. I'm not better than all the devotees who have not found something in this and then left and went for other lifestyles. Let's be human. And you will live a compromised life where you just don't get the spiritual taste. You are secretly or inherently, by your spiritual nature, always yearning for. John Paul Sartre, anyone knows him? A famous existentialist. His philosophy informed the world. He said, in frustration, he said, why can't people just be materially happy? He said, why not? And then he said in frustration, it seems to me the human being is cursed to be a religious entity. I want to say this in positive Krishna conscious language because John Paul didn't just get it right. It seems that all of you are spiritual souls who will only be happy when you are connecting with Krishna. This is a little help for Jean-Paul Sartre, you know. So a compromised life will not bring you there, nor will a life where you just do it out of duty, do this. You know, I'm giving japa retreats, and I know how the japa scene in America looks like. Because I'm really I have the fever thermometer in the japa thing right there. You know, I found out people come to the retreats because most of them do not chant 16 rounds. That is what I found out. This is the situation in America. I have statistical proof for this. without knowing your own practice even. Why? They've done this out of duty. They're good people. They're dutiful people. They come to the retreat hoping that now I get it. And sometimes people do get it, we have to say humbly. Because they want this. Huh? But they know out of duty we can't do this. We can't maintain it. It only works out of taste. This is the movement of taste. Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, raga is the only motivating thing, raga, this attachment, taste, the only motivating experience which will keep you on the path. The principle of attraction. Now, I will make two more points. By the way, I got a note. Please speak as long as you like. There is no time limit. There was an earlier note, which was superseded by the last instruction. Please speak as long as you like. There's no time limit from today on. Thank you.
and it was a sight. I don't know, it was not sight. I hope it was a person with authority. But I will not keep you too long. I know you have to work and the day is there. Just allow me to make 2 points. You need them. When do you feel attraction? You know, I said you have to practice this out of taste to make it into the sacred space, to make it in your devotional practices, because it's the practices which will bring you into this sacred space. Or you could also say, if you prefer the old expression, only the practices bring you to the level of Krishna consciousness. Huh? When do you feel that attraction, that eagerness? And I will surprise you. When you feel your emptiness. Please listen now very carefully. The day after Pandava Nirjal Ekadasi, no one needs to convince the person who has fasted from water to drink water. He doesn't have to drink water out of duty. No, I have to do this dutiful, you know. No, every cell in him wants that water because he's empty. He's free from water. I mean free, devoid of water, I wanted to say. He has a whole day persisted without water. So, in all of our lives, have already this emptiness. We have left Krishna. We have gone out of this devotional relationship. However, this is our problem. We are trying to fill the emptiness with diversions from it. All of us, to speak in the name of a devotee who gave this words, have a God-shaped hole in our heart. A God-shaped hole. Krishna is no longer in the throne of our heart. But in order to not confront this miserable situation, we are putting our diversions there, which happened in compromised spiritual life. There's the world of movies, there's the world of gossip talking, there's the world of politics, there's the world of ice cream and pizza, there is the world of holidays and Orlando, Disney Park. I don't know if you go there, but I don't know if this is the world of attraction. There's everything else through which we can conveniently and with a cheating mentality, self-cheating mentality, cover that emptiness. Face the emptiness. Face your problem that you have left Krishna and that you will not be happy without a relationship. Somewhere in your heart you feel this, isn't it? That without a relationship with Krishna you will not feel happy. Don't we all feel that? Therefore, don't put the diversions there. It will not help you to wake up to the into the beautiful kingdom of taste. So I will now end this. Prabhupada, he said once, there is a television box within your heart. It is not that you have to purchase one machine or television set. No, it is there. And God is also there. You can see, you can hear, you can talk, provided you've got that machine, that box, you repair it. That's all. The repairing process is Krishna consciousness. So Prabhupada, in his very, very merciful way, he puts this sacred space, he says it's a box. It's a machine where you can receive Krishna, Govinda, and have him always there. And you need to repair it, and that's the process of Krishna consciousness. He refers to the processes which we will look at in the seminar to come. Before ending, I would like to tell you a story. From the Brahma Vaivata Purana, which Shiva Goswami cites in a purport Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. There was once a Brahmana who lived in the city of Pratishthana. He was very poor, but he remained peaceful because he understood my misery is due to my past karma. And he also understood, if I just take to the process of Krishna consciousness, I can please the Lord in the heart. And if the Lord is pleased, how I will live very nice. He will take care of everything and I will be fulfilled. But then he thought, alas, how will I please the Lord? I'm so poor. I can't worship him with exquisite dresses and offerings of food. I can't even feed myself properly. And he felt sadness in his heart. One day, he went to a gathering of Vaishnavas. And there he heard that the processes of Vaishnav practice could also bring him perfection if he just did them in his mind. So this impoverished man felt encouraged. I don't have to be rich outside. I don't have to be rich in gold coins. Let me just worship the Lord in my mind. And with this sankalpa, he started a practice. He went to the Godavari River. Every morning he did some, after his bath, some pranayams to calm his mind. Then he went away from those who took their bath and sat in the forest. And there he became steady in his mind. Mentally, he established a deity of his Lord in the temple of his heart. He put fine cloth around the hips of the Lord, at the shoulders, garlands, and offered the Lord his respect. Then in his mind, he pulled up his cloth and he wiped the temple floor of the Lord. Again offering respects, he collected water from all the holy Tirthas, like Ganga and Jamuna. He gave the Lord an Abhishek with this water,
and offered him worship befitting a king. He did this every morning. He visited the temple of the heart, where he worshipped to his heart's pleasure. And my dear devotees, he felt so much peace that the peace kept him going the whole day. Now, after practicing for some time like this, he one morning mentally took a golden pot. He put rice into the golden pot, and then milk, and boiled it. When he thought the preparation is ready, he took the golden pot and wanted to bring it to the Lord. But alas, his two thumbs glided into the golden pot and he touched the sweet rice with nails. Then he found out, oh, it's so hot still, and he dropped the pot. Realizing what had happened, he exclaimed, "How unfortunate, this offering has been spoiled." Out of sadness, his samadhi broke, and when he came out of samadhi, he noticed his two thumbs were burnt. At the same time, up in Vaikuntha, the Lord smiled and then he laughed. Lakshmi, who sat next to the Lord, asked, "My Lord, why are you laughing?" The Lord didn't say anything and said, "You will see." And he ordered his servants to take a vimana and permanently brought that brahmana to his side because of his qualifications. Hare Krishna. We tried this for the first time, but Janavi, you always very nice. So my dear devotees, this is what we want to also learn, that Brahmana went into the temple of the heart, and due to his practices, he became peaceful in his mind throughout the whole day, because he had found himself in relationship to Krishna. He worshipped. He had gotten this taste. Starting with this evening, we will go on a road of where we will review our spiritual practices. For some of you are old timers, and we will give some secrets from Prabhupada's teachings and our tradition, sacred tradition, how you can also, like that brahmana, enter the temple of your heart, where you will make a relationship with Krishna. And you will become joyful in your Krishna consciousness. Thank you very, very much. I think I will stop here and not ask for questions this time, because I notice we are a little late, and some of my guests, although they like to stay, they have to run out to go to school and to work and everything. I think we should end here, with your permission, and tomorrow, this evening, we will also take questions. In a summary, if you forget everything from this class, just remember this thing: you have to learn to practice your life with taste. That taste will supply to you the experience which you need in your spiritual life to be fully empowered. And
This you can do by learning to enter the temple of the heart. Thank you all very, very much, and I hope to see you this evening. Hare Krishna. Thank you.